This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to the Daily Digest with me, T. Xiao Yik and Juliet Jacobs.
Now on to our second story. It was recently reported to the United Nations Human Rights Council that child sexual exploitation, sexual abuse and the use of children in prostitution are, quote unquote, a reality in all parts of the world. Mm. So this was in the report of the Special Rapporteur on Sale and Sexual Exploitation of Children, Maud de Bourbequillo. As children are accessing the internet at a younger age, she's concerned that this would expose protection gaps in the system. So the Special Rapporteur also warns that the internet offers, quote-unquote, secrecy, anonymity and opacity to perpetrators. Mm. And children are trafficked within their own countries as well as across borders for purposes of sexual exploitation. And then they are coerced into participating in online pornography.
It's just really...
Everything that
chills,
makes you...
Chills, yeah, right?
Skin crawl, yeah.
Yes, and as parents, it's just horrifying to think of this. When you read the report more, it states that in 2017, there were 78,589 online sites found to have child sexual abuse material. By 2018, the number of websites increased by 32%.
Oh,
so the Special Rapporteur also said that in 2018, Interpol had more than 1.5 million images and videos as potential evidence. And, you know, she warns that we may not yet know the true extent of the crimes committed against children. And this isn't just due to a lack of data and reporting bodies, but also the ingrained culture of silence, shame and stigma surrounding child sexual abuse and exploitation.
Yeah, and in addition to the Special Rapporteur's report, another study also highlighted how Facebook had failed to detect hundreds of cases of child exploitation on its platform over the last 6 years. Mm. So the report was done by the not-for-profit investigative group called Tech Transparency Project, TPP, where they analysed news releases by the Department of Justice in the United States. And what they found was that the social media platform was used as a medium to sexually exploit children in at least 366 cases between January 2013 and December 2019.
Yeah, and even more horrifying is that Facebook only notified the authorities of 9% of those cases, while the rest of the investigations were initiated by authorities without any prompting from the company. So, you know, Facebook's own community standards bans content that sexually exploits or endangers children, but TPP Executive Director Daniel Stevens said that the report suggests the platform isn't doing enough to enforce those standards of their own. And in the past, Facebook has been criticized for inaction as reports emerged on the exploitation of children on the platform. Take a look back to 2016, when the BBC discovered Facebook groups where pedophiles were swapping stolen images of children, and they reported 20 inappropriate images to Facebook as part of their investigations. But only 4 photos were taken down.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But okay, so let's look what's happening in Malaysia. In 2017, the Sexual Offences Against Children Act was passed, which criminalises specific offences such as child grooming and child pornography. A special criminal court on sexual crimes against children was also set up in Putrajaya and Kuching to specifically address child sexual abuse cases.
Yeah, and just last year in 2019, the Economist Intelligence Unit produced the Out of the Shadow Index, which examines how countries respond to the threat of sexual violence against children. Out of the 60 countries, Malaysia ranked 23rd. Dr. Mark Kavanagh, who's the head of research and policy for ACPAT International, said that Malaysia was seen to have a relatively stable and safe environment for children, but there are specific and contextual factors that exacerbate children's vulnerability to sexual exploitation.
So we're focusing specifically on the issue of online child exploitations. And to get a bit and to get some better insights on this, earlier today I spoke to Shaney Cheng, the acting executive director for PS The Children. And I started off by asking her how prevalent online child exploitation is here in Malaysia.
I do not have the exact number on how prevalent it is, but we know for the offline grooming, it's 1 in 4 for girl child, 1 in 6 for boy child.
Wow.
So for that figure, it means that, you know, the sex offender are normally people around the community that have direct contact with the child. But for online child sexual exploitation, my assumption will be higher. Reason being is right now the offender has a direct contact with the child without adult knowing about it.
I see. All right. And do you think that there is a possibility of underreporting of cases here?
Definitely.
Definitely, right. And could you help to just explain why that's happening?
No, people doesn't know, you know. First is there is a need to report. Mm. Second is basically they don't understand. It's a bit hard to come forward and say, I want to report on such thing, where most of the time people tend to blame the child.
Yeah, of course.
Of sending, you know, pictures, or sending, you know, naked photos, videos to the offenders and being threatened and stuff like that. First, the child is being threatened not to speak.
Mm.
And right now, the family is also feeling uncomfortable about it to speak up because it looks like it's the child's fault to send all these photos to the offender. So they tend to, you know, just, how do I say, they just rather, you know, warn the child and ask them to keep quiet about it or don't do it ever rather than make a police report and stuff like that. Unless, you know, the awareness is out there and people know that they actually can make a police report about it and it's not about the child doing something wrong.
Right.
It's about someone taking exploitation or, you know, catfishing the child and the child just sent it because of curiosity.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that is the reason why.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. People would rather just hush it up and pretend it never happened and just move on, right? In that sense.
Yes, exactly.
How has technology facilitated the spread of particularly online child exploitation?
It basically has make it faster.
Yeah.
and definitely that's what sure I think everyone of us. Technology has gave children, because right now children as young as 2 or 3, they are using gadgets already.
Mm.
Right,
that's right.
They're exposed to gadget. Children right now are living in a gadget world.
Mm-hmm.
And information is just so quickly, you know, children can get information so quickly from all these gadgets and stuff like that.
Yeah.
However, there is no skill given to the child to say, hey, or conversation given to the child and say, hey, this shouldn't be happening. Hey, if someone talks to you, you shouldn't, you know, you don't do this. There is no open communication on this. So technology plays a very important role. So the child is using technology.
Mm-hmm.
However, there is no skill given to the child.
That's right.
You know, to prevent things from happening.
To make them understand how to actually navigate it, right? I mean, adults, we have trouble. Can you imagine for a child?
Yeah. So I always like to use this example, right? If a 50-year-old or 40-year-old woman or man fall into a love scam...
Yeah.
Yeah. Why are you say a child shouldn't be falling into it? It's a double standard.
That's right.
And if an adult can fall into it, I mean, it makes sense that why children don't fall into it.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, what role can social media platforms or companies, what role can they play in curbing online child exploitation, if at all?
More awareness. Because a lot of time right now there is just a report button.
Mm.
If those media platforms, for example, like, you know, we talk about Facebook or we talk about other media platforms, if there is a pop-up or there is information coming and say, hey, these are happening. Hey, this is you know, this is something going on. Then children might get at the awareness of it. And also another thing, on all these media platforms, they actually are for children, for people that is above 18 to use it.
Mm-hmm.
But children will use it and then, of course, they will just stick their age on it.
Yeah, it's so easy to go around
it. So easily, yeah. Do those social media platforms want to restrict or want to strengthen the application of people?
Mm.
If it's not, if they can't do that, then can they aware that all these platforms, children are using it and they just acknowledge it and do something about it? For example, have a policy. Besides a policy, if there is a flag reported case, what are they going to do? And also, you know, when they in the system, if they know children are using the platform, just like how we, you know, buy things online or, you know, browse online shopping and things just pop up left, right, center. Any website that you go later, if they are aware that children are using it, because the things that children are, you know, like gaming and stuff like that, they can have a pop up of awareness on, hey, these are happening. Hey, there's something called catfishing. Hey, there's something called cyberbullying. There's something called people taking advantage of you and something like that. So there is a skill or, you know, there is an awareness to the child.
Mm-hmm.
Because right now, in a lot of situations, children know they can't send. Children is aware, but because of the grooming process, they will.
Yeah.
And some of them doesn't understand the repercussion of sending it.
That's right.
Yeah, so it is a platform to someone to speak to as well. If someone is asking, can the children go to a platform and talk to somebody and say, hey, this person is asking this from me, I'm not sure what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because they can't go to their parents, afraid their parents to take their phone away.
Yeah. But, you know, parents themselves then, you know, what can they do to prevent their child from being exploited online? I mean, like you said, like, you know, just taking the phone away is not the solution, right? So what's, a smarter way of actually, you know, facing this issue and dealing with it head on?
Yeah. So normally we always encourage parents to have a very open communication. It's not about obsessive. It's not about no.
Mm.
You like it or not, children are in the gadget world right now. They need gadgets for assignments, for different types of tasks.
Yeah.
The only way to, you know, for children to able to come to the parents and say, Mom, I'm not feeling comfortable. Someone is asking this from me. Or Mom, I know someone online and we are very close recently, but I'm feeling a bit fishy, to have that conversation with the parents.
Yeah.
Parents need to have a very, kind of create a space of trust, need to create a space of open communication that whatever come out from the child's mouth, you know, they listen and support the child instead of punish the child. I know for parents it doesn't make sense a bit because they say, I have emotion, I have expectation. You say, yes, you can... Oh, not at school. You can react and stuff like that, but tell the child you are reacting because you're angry.
Mm-hmm.
But after that, look at a way to how to support the child.
That's right.
That space of open communication is very important.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so Malaysia does have the Sexual Offences Against Children Act 2017.
Yeah.
How does that protect children from online exploitation? I mean, and, you know, just going further than that, what can be improved in that law as well?
For the law itself is there is a lot of grooming. They have the whole grooming act in it. The whole if a person is sexually grooming or potentially grooming a child, it can bring charges up. It's a crime in Malaysia.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that needs to be improved is a lot of people is not aware of that. So the law right now looks like a piece of paper,
mm-hmm.
but the execution part of people awareing the rights, people awareing that. It's not right. It's not happening yet.
Okay.
The application part. And because a lot of time that, you know, PS takes on a lot of cases as well, we realize a lot of time, you know, when the children come forward with online grooming, you know, or online exploitation, most of the time they already delete all this conversation or they confronted the offenders and then the offenders will block them and things like that.
Right.
So we always say, if possible, do not delete any conversation. Let the conversation still be there. Even if it's being blocked, if possible, print screen everything and stuff like that, because all this can be evidence if they plan to lodge a police report.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So just keep transcripts of everything, just keep whatever we can, like screenshots, any sort of record, just keep it.
Just keep it, yeah.
Okay, all right. Mm-hmm. And finally, you know, just wanted to know, what should someone do when they notice a possible case of online child exploitation?
Of a child or of a child's case, lodge a police report or, you know, come and talk to us. Most of the time, I mean, we can always call PS children because what we do is we understand it's not easy for someone to walk to the police station and say, hey, I suspect a case and stuff like that.
That's right.
And a lot of time we want to educate the public and say, it's not about a case is being confirmed, only you can lodge a police report. If you suspect, if anybody suspect a child exploitation case, a sexual exploitation case, they can always lodge a police report. By saying that I'm suspecting this case and it's going on and stuff like that. So the police role is to investigate and to confirm that things happening.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just how they don't, because a lot of time the public, they need to confirm the case happened. They need to confirm that, you know, they have the solid evidence and stuff like that.
Okay, all right.
So we say any suspect case they can lodge. If they are not comfortable or not sure what to do, always can contact us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can contact us via Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
We have our WhatsApp line, can just WhatsApp us. And then, or they can call our office and ask, you know, what they can do and stuff like that.
Okay.
And we always, you know, we will assist them and provide advice from there.
That was Shaney Cheng, Acting Executive Director of PS The Children. And I think it's a really, this news, especially with knowing that a lot of it is out there on Facebook and similar social media platforms, is really a strong reminder to parents to be very vigilant of what your children are exposed to online.
Yep, exactly. And I guess also what Shaney said, you know, just taking it away, that's not going to be the solution.
Absolutely.
Because they'll just find other ways of getting it. So it's to have those open discussions and healthy conversations, you know, that explain things properly instead of just banning something.
That's right. Because, you know, not just our children, we are living digital lives now. And that's the reality. We have to be pragmatic and adjust our responses accordingly.
Definitely.
Yeah. But also, lots of responsibility on the social media platforms themselves to clamp down when children could very, very possibly be in danger. That's all the time that we have for this story. If you have any thoughts that you'd still like to share, send them over. You can tweet us at BFM Radio. You can also WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or send us a message on our Facebook page, BFM The Bigger Picture. If you missed any part of the show, you can download the podcast at bfm.my/dailydigest on the BFM app or on Spotify, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.